What a joy to be together this Christmas Eve and to celebrate the coming of our Lord. A special welcome to our guests and visitors with us. So glad that we can be together and celebrate this time. What a joy to sing and hear the strings and worship together. What a privilege. I'd like to just repeat the words that Amanda read as we think about the Apostle John's Christmas message. Here's what he said, beginning in John chapter 1, verse 9. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. Let's pray. Father, how we thank you for this moment to pause and to ponder the miracle and the marvel of Christmas. Open our hearts and our minds to receive your truth from the sacred text. Use my lips to your glory to bless your people this Christmas Eve. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. John tells us that we have seen his glory in the face of Christ. That is a picture of light. And the fact is that this world is a dark place. From the tragedy and the terror that's going on in the city of Aleppo to a truck hurling through a Christmas market in Berlin to struggles, even in our own lives, in our work, in our family, and darkness at times, even in our own souls. There is darkness and much suffering between nations, between individuals. And when winter falls, we can feel the darkness in our own bones. And yet at some level, we all intuitively know that things ought not be this way. We're made for light and for love. The scripture tells us that God made things beautiful from the beginning, but man chose to rebel against God, and from that moment left the light and the love of his Creator and fell under the power of the evil one. And from that moment, that sorrowful, fateful day, darkness fell over all the land, over all people, over all creation. And so it is that even to this day, we have learned to live in the darkness. And yet God loves us. He loves each one of you so much. He doesn't want us to live in the darkness anymore. He knew full well that we have no way. There's nothing in us with the power to overcome that darkness, the chains of our sin and shame. And so God himself chose to be the solution to the problem. He came to be a bridge that might reunite us back to God, and by that reconciliation to restore us to healthy relationships with one another, with the very creation that he made, that we might enjoy him and enjoy life and be prepared for life everlasting with him. That is the what and the why of Christmas. The light of life came into the world. Imagine the fountainhead of all love, the source of all life, was born a babe in a barn and was laid in a feed trough. John tells us that in him was life, and that life was the light of men. Imagine This is the Creator, the one who spoke the heavens into being. That very one, the eternal Son, became a man. The one who gives us life and breath and strength. You know, we like to pretend that we're totally autonomous creatures. And, you know, when I get feeling full of myself, I just try holding my breath for an hour, and it doesn't go very well. And so I realize we are totally dependent creatures. He is our sustainer. And in Him we have life and have our being. He entered humanity to make a way to restore us to that love relationship with Himself, to bring healing at every level. And so John paints this picture of the glorious Son of God coming. But then he moves in and focuses in a more personal way. He tells us that Jesus came into His own, and even His own didn't receive Him. It makes me sad to think that the Son of God would come and His own people rejected Him. They declared, "We have no king but Caesar." They rejected their king. And yet that rejection didn't dissuade Christ. He kept coming and He continues to come. He still comes. And from that moment when life and light entered the world, He continues to set people free, free from the chains of sin, sets us free from slavery into freedom, breaks our bonds of darkness and gives us His light, sets us free from our loneliness and fills us with His love. He continues to come, and even today, He knocks on the door of our hearts and tenderly, like His first coming, asks to come in. This is what John spoke about when he talked about men and women becoming the children of God. When a person believes this good news, something sublime, yet something powerful happens in the life of that person. When we trust in Christ, we're actually born anew, born from God. We're born into God's family and become the children of God. Let me take a moment and paint a sidebar here. You see, there's a lot of confusion. There are many people who mistakenly think that everyone is naturally born a children of God. As a matter of fact, there are some very religious people who think that all people are born children of God. And yet, John records in chapter 8 that Jesus had this very conversation with some of the scholars of Israel. They were trying to make the point that they were children of Abraham, as if to say that they were already in on God's redemptive story. And Jesus took great effort to set that record straight and to make it clear. You see, He understood that their great-great-grandfather was Abraham. But He wanted them to understand that because of that physical birth did not make them children of God. There needs to be a new birth. No one is naturally born a child of God. No one naturally enters the kingdom of God. That requires a supernatural transaction, a special work of God's power, which happens when we respond by faith to this good news of what Christ has come to do. John again tells us this in his story. Listen again to verse 12. He says, "As many as received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God." You see, the eternal Son was born of Mary, was born
a tiny baby, entered the human race so that he might enter our lives as well. The Holy Spirit planted him as a tiny seed in Mary's womb. And there he grew to become man. And in the same way, when you believed in Christ, God's seed was planted in you. Not in the same way, but in a similar way. God's life was planted in you when you, by faith, trusted this good news of the gospel. What a joy to realize that he came not only to be born, but to live a perfect life, to die a sacrificial death, that he might pay the debt of all our rebellion and to offer us this privilege to be born anew and to enter into his family, into his kingdom, that we might enjoy him forevermore. Do you understand that Jesus came that first Christmas morning that he might live among humanity, and that he comes today to each man, each woman, to be born in them, that through the people of God, Jesus might dwell among humanity and shine forth his light and his love? This is why the Bible calls Christians the body of Christ, because Jesus lives in us. He became fully man, fully human in all ways, at the same time not losing any of the elements of his deity. But thus, he created a way for a new humanity, whereby we poor, ornery people might be made new, might become part of a new humanity. And even as he came so quietly on that first Christmas morn, he enters our lives as well. He comes gently to replace our darkness with his light, to replace our loneliness with his love, to replace our isolation with his presence. And in making you his child, he makes your life a vessel that through you, his love, his light, his life might be manifest to the world. Mary was a humble peasant woman who willingly received Jesus' seed to give him birth. Now, she could have told the angel that she wasn't interested. She could have said, "It's just too much. I don't think I'm willing to go through having a child before I'm wed. This sounds very complicated to me." She could have said, "This sounds like a fairy tale." And how many people do we know think the same? And even perhaps today, there might be someone here who doesn't understand that this is real, that the Creator has come and has been born in us. We may wrestle with all sorts of doubts, but Jesus said to his followers, "Stop doubting and believe." Others fail to recognize this connection between Jesus coming to Bethlehem and Jesus coming to dwell in our lives as well. He designed to give us second birth, that we might receive him, that he might fill our lives and our hearts with his power, with his presence. Now, if perhaps you've never come to understand what Christ came to do, you could just pray with me. I'm just going to finish our time with a time of prayer. So I'd like to ask you, just bow your head and close your eyes, and I'm going to pray. Let's pray together. If you haven't trusted Christ, even tonight, you might pray this prayer. Dear Father, I'm so grateful that Jesus, your Son, was born on Christmas, lived a perfect life, and died a sacrificial death to pay for all my selfishness and sin. I need him to make me new. I want to be born again. I receive Jesus as my Lord and determine today to follow you. Thank you that you wash me, that you make me clean. Lord, make me your child forevermore. Make me a vessel through whom your love and light might shine to those around me and to the ends of the earth. And if you've been born of Christ, we might pray as well. We thank you, Father, for the joy of Christmas, for the privilege to know your beloved Son. How we rejoice that you've come to seek us, to save us, to fill us, to change us. Might your love and light shine through us for your glory, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.